Hello, friends, and welcome to another edition of Crossroads, where faith and culture meet. I'm Dean Welty with Rita Dunaway. We're joined today by a very special guest and a good friend who I'll introduce in just a minute. But first, let's set the table with a very simple observation. As a culture and as a nation, we have been going in the wrong direction for far too long and on far too many issues. The signs of that are all around us. And the reason for that? Well, that too is very simple. We have turned our backs on God, we have rejected our great Judeo-Christian heritage, and we have trashed our constitutional principles. As a result, our foundations are being destroyed. So what else can we expect? But times are changing. A new wind is blowing, and we now have an opportunity to turn this great ship of state around and get back on course. The question is, are we up to the task? First, can we return America to the position of high honor described in Psalm 33:12 that says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord"? Can we again become, as we say in our Pledge of Allegiance, one nation under God? Second, can we rebuild the decaying pillars of religion and morality that George Washington referred to in 1796 as the indispensable supports for our political prosperity? Third, and finally, can we expect to make America great again without first making her good again? That is our challenge. And to help us respond to it, we are delighted to have Congressman Bob Goodlatte with us today as our special guest. He has represented the Shenandoah Valley in Congress since 1993 and currently serves as chairman of the powerful House Judiciary Committee. We'll ask him for an update on what's happening in Washington, with a focus on some core values issues like life, faith, family, and freedom. Those indispensable pillars of religion and morality that George Washington was referring to. But we'll also ask him about a couple of other small issues, like Obamacare, immigration, tax reform, and the national debt. It's a tall order, so let's get started. Congressman Goodlatte, I want, first of all, just to thank you for your service on the front lines in this battle of values and for joining us today from Washington. Welcome to Crossroads.
Well, Dean, it is great to be with you and your listeners.
Congressman Goodlatte, before we get into specific legislation, what are your thoughts so far on the new administration, and how do you see the outlook for our nation?
Well, first of all, it is such a huge improvement over the previous administration, such a breath of fresh air.
Yeah.
President Trump has nominated a lot of outstanding people. They're starting to fill those positions now. We have Dr. Tom Price, the very pro-life physician, now heading the Department of Health and Human Services. You can just imagine what a huge difference he will make there.
Yes.
And then when you think about the new nominee to replace Justice Antonin Scalia on the United States Supreme Court, Judge Neil Gorsuch. Those are big shoes to fill. In fact, I'm not sure anybody can really fill them. Scalia was historic in his honoring our Constitution and a strong believer in protecting human life. But I think Judge Gorsuch will both follow the lead of Justice Scalia in how he interprets the law, and I think he is also going to be a strong protector of life and other family values. So I'm very excited about that. I think he will be confirmed by the United States Senate. The Democrats are searching and searching to find a way to not confirm him.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, if they don't provide the 60 votes, and I think they probably will, but if they don't provide the additional votes along with the Republicans, I don't think the American people will be in the least bit hesitant or disappointed if the Senate changes its rules so that he can be confirmed with the necessary 51 votes. I am very excited about seeing him on the court and on getting a clear conservative majority on the court again.
Yes. Well, we certainly would agree with that. You alluded to the issue of life. Let's just start with that issue as far as legislation that has been proposed in Congress. And a few of the pieces of life-related legislation include the Life at Conception Act, or the Sanctity of Human Life Act, the Heartbeat Protection Act, the Pain-Capable Unborn Child Protection Act. What are your thoughts on those measures?
So before I get to those, let me first say that while you were up here for the March for Life, which wasn't that a tremendous response to some of the other things that have been going on around here, for that, we had already passed the No Taxpayer Funding for Abortion Act, which I strongly support, and as you know, would codify the two core principles of the Hyde Amendment, something that has been passed by bipartisan Congresses for close to 50 years now. Those core principles are a ban on federal funding for abortion and a ban on the use of federal funds for health benefits coverage that includes coverage of abortion. Henry Hyde was chairman of the Judiciary Committee when I was a relatively new member of Congress. He was a mentor for me and has been a tremendous role model for those who seek to protect life. And passing that bill through the House is a great sign. I think that if we could get it through the Senate, this president would sign it into law because he's already shown the kind of conscience that we need to have in the White House. I commend him for already reinstating the Mexico City policy, which prohibits United States government funding of abortions overseas.
Yeah.
So why wouldn't he also sign into law for Americans? And how, what a shame it is that we are able to enforce that policy with our dollars outside the United States, but we have to work overtime and can't get it made permanent in the law, at least not yet, for American citizens. That's coming, though. I really do believe it is. We're working in the Judiciary Committee on a host of other issues. The Pain-Capable Unborn Child Protection Act. This bill passed the House last Congress by a good solid vote, 242 to 184. And basically what it does is it builds on the growing understanding that people have, particularly young people, about that unborn child that they have fathered or mothered and that feels pain. I mean, when you see what people can learn about their children long before they're born today and see the kind of evidence that exists now scientifically about the pain that these children can feel when they go through an abortion, I think we're making, again, a lot of headway. I think in a few decades, people will recognize that the pro-life movement is the civil rights movement of the 21st century, and we need to see it through.
Yes.
To its fruition.
Amen
and
to
more
that.
More and more people understand this. Polls, the Quinnipiac poll, which certainly is not a conservative organization, found that 62% of people surveyed supported a ban on abortions 20 weeks or later, and a clear majority of men, women, whites, blacks, Hispanics, married people, single people, all support a ban on abortion after 20 weeks or earlier. So we're going to press forward with that legislation again in this Congress. And again, I think if the Senate would change their rules and recognize that a majority is a majority and let 51 votes rule, we could get that bill through the Senate and signed into law as well.
In fact, I think you passed that one 2 years ago as well, didn't you? After
The last Congress we passed that.
Yes.
And the Born Alive Survivors Protection Act passed the House by an even bigger margin, 248 to 177. That bill is simple yet profound.
Yeah.
It might be that very reflection of the nation's conscience that
yes.
we were talking about a moment ago.
Well,
its operative provisions simply provide that in the case of an abortion or attempted abortion that results in a child born alive, any healthcare practitioner present must exercise the same degree of care, professional care, to preserve the life of the child as he or she would render to any other child born alive at the same gestational age.
Yes.
So important to, to draw the moral equivalence that I don't understand how some people can draw that distinction between a baby that's born and a baby that's not yet born.
Yes, it's important just to our being a civilized society, I would say. Let's move on, Congressman Goodlatte, if we could, to the issue of religious liberty, which has become a huge concern after the Obama administration and some of the things that were done there. So I know there have been a few bills proposed, including the Government Non-Discrimination Act, Conscience Protection Act, the First Amendment Protection Act, and an effort to repeal the Johnson Amendment. Could you just comment for us on one or more of those, and what is the outlook for religious liberty under the current Congress?
Well, I'm again, optimistic. You know, the government of the United States was created to protect the God-given rights of the people, including our First Amendment rights to religious freedom and free speech. And so, who was it, Thomas Jefferson, that said the price of freedom is eternal vigilance?
Yes.
That doesn't just apply to protecting our shores from invaders or preventing terrorist attacks. It also means protecting those carefully considered protections that are built into our Constitution. We have to work to protect them by having the right people on the United States Supreme Court, the right people serving in Congress that recognize the importance of this. So we're going to see a number of initiatives in this area. We must continue to safeguard the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, which passed the 103rd Congress many years ago. Ironically, Senator Chuck Schumer, who was then a congressman serving on the Judiciary Committee with me, he introduced the bill. By the time the bill passed by a voice vote, it had 170 co-sponsors on both sides of the aisle. And what's sometimes lost in the debate about RFRA is that the statute is not outcome determinative. RFRA provides courts with a sensible balancing test in which a religious person must show the government has substantially burdened their sincerely held religious belief. You can't just make something up and then claim the protection of it. It's got to be a sincerely held religious belief. And after the claimant proves this, then the burden's on the government to show it has a compelling interest that is narrowly tailored. This balancing test allows courts to weigh the facts in each case and make an individualized determination. And that's why it's so important to have conservative judges on the courts who love our Constitution and respect the appropriate way to interpret the Constitution.
We only have about 3 minutes left. I know you have to leave, but I'm just going to throw a couple of questions at you and let you just give a brief comment on each one. The first one is Obamacare, repeal and replace. The second one is immigration, border security, sanctuary cities. The third one is education, school choice. And then the fourth one is the national debt, the balanced budget amendment. I know that you support in tax reform. Take a crack at any of those.
Before I go over there, I've got a couple more minutes than you're allowing. I want to mention, especially because the president has mentioned this, he mentioned it in his campaign, and that is to repeal the Johnson Amendment.
Mm-hmm. Yes, good.
Which I strongly support. We are looking forward to seeing that language. It will come not from the Judiciary Committee, but the Ways and Means Committee. It is very, very important. Our majority whip, Steve Scalise from Louisiana, has introduced the Free Speech Fairness Act, we're looking forward to acting on that as well. Some of the other issues you mentioned, immigration, I think the president has set us on the right track here. You know, we're a nation of immigrants. There's probably not a U.S. citizen listening to your program who can't go back a few generations or several generations and find someone in their family who came to the United States to better their lives for themselves or their family. But we're also a nation of laws, yes. And respect for the rule of law is what has been lacking in the implementation and enforcement of our immigration laws, at least for the last 8 years, probably longer than that. And it seems to me that this president is very determined to get back to that. And once he does that, I think it is going to really make a deep impression on the American people about how important it is to not have this growing sense of it doesn't matter whether you're here legally or illegally. Yes. It matters a great deal. Secondly, you mentioned tax reform. So important, because we are losing jobs to other countries because our tax code is the highest corporate tax rate in the world, it incentivizes people to not only invest outside the country, but when they make profits from those investments, never bring those profits back to the United States. We're going to change that. We're also looking at it somewhat more complicated, but we're looking at finding ways to address the fact that most other developed countries impose a tax on goods sold in their country, but not on goods they make there that are sold out of their country. We do the opposite. The goods coming into our country, we don't tax, and the goods going out of our country, we tax them before they go. So that puts our U.S. manufacturers and service providers and agriculture at a huge disadvantage. Figuring out how to do that without hurting the consumer is a major challenge. I think we can do it, but we're certainly going to try, because it would be a huge boost to job creation in the country. And you mentioned the debt. Well, if you don't have a growing economy, the debt just gets worse and worse and worse. But really, fiscal responsibility starts with the people who make the spending decisions. In Shenandoah County, in Rockingham County, in Harrisonburg, the local governments are required by law to balance their budget. Some of them do a better job than others. Some of them do it by cutting spending, some by raising taxes, but they have to do it. The same thing is true for 49 out of 50 states, including Virginia, where in Virginia's case, it must be done because the state constitution requires that it be done. And we should have the same requirement here at the federal level. The federal government is not exempt from the laws of economics. And the $20 trillion debt that has been run up is a terrible burden on our children, our grandchildren, on the future of our country. But it has impacts on us right now. And it used to be said that when the United States sneezes, the rest of the world catches a cold.
Yes.
We're in danger of having that reversed, and that when China sneezes, the U.S.
Yes.
Could have a problem. We've got to stop that. And the way to stop it is to be fiscally responsible and not spend more money than you take in. So I have again in this Congress reintroduced a balanced budget amendment to the United States Constitution. That's not my idea. It's not a new idea. Thomas Jefferson was the first person to talk about something like that. But we need to keep pressing that case. And I'm hopeful that with Mick Mulvaney, one of my colleagues in the House now as the director of the Office of Management and Budget, we're going to see tighter budgets and more interest in that kind of fiscal responsibility coming out of this White House than we certainly did not see coming out of the last White House. What were the other things on your list? Education.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, I think that we have a great new Secretary of Education. I know there was a battle in the Senate over confirming Betsy DeVos, but she is someone who understands that education begins with the family in the home, and that's where government policy should be most protective. People deserve to have the most options, including homeschooling, private schools. Certainly public education is important. It's going to be what the most Americans rely on for the long term. But people need to have choices, because when they have choices, then they can expect more from the school system that is providing their education to their children. If they have no competition, then the focus goes away from the child and toward the bureaucracy. And that is not good for our education system. I think she'll steer us in the right direction.
One final comment. I know you have a reading of the Constitution at the beginning of every session. Which part of the Constitution did you choose for yourself to read, and why is that so important to you?
I read the very beginning of the Constitution, the preamble, and the beginning of Article 1. And each Congress, I've had the honor of leading the reading of the Constitution. We've done it now three times, actually four times. And I choose different ones on different occasions. The First Amendment is very meaningful to me. The 10th Amendment, protecting the rights of the states, is very, very important to me as well. But really, what's most important about reading the Constitution is reading the Constitution.
Yes.
When we first did this, the idea was very well received by everybody in our new majority back in 2011. I asked my staff to go look and see the last time the Constitution had been read in its entirety. entirety on the floor of the House of Representatives, and they came back and told me that it was 1,800 and never.
Oh, my.
It had never been read on the floor of the House before. I couldn't believe it. But that's indeed the case. So now, at least at the beginning of each Congress, we have a bipartisan reading. This year, more than 100 members came down and each got a small section of the Constitution to read. I think it helps to get the public focused on what our true mission here is in the Congress and get ourselves focused as well. Mm-hmm. And that is to write laws based upon that Constitution, not to write laws that somebody likes or doesn't like, but write laws that comply with the Constitution of the United States. And I hope that it also inspires more people to take a look at it and read it, because a better informed citizen is better able to protect their rights.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, it seems to me that you've really hit both of the areas that we feel so passionately about: restoring our Judeo-Christian values and adherence to our constitutional principles.
You're absolutely right. And I feel like we are moving in the right direction now, where we've been stalled for a while. And now we have to seize the moment and push ahead.
On that last issue of restoring constitutional governance, can you comment for us on what is being done in Congress, if anything, to preclude the use of executive orders and regulations rather than legislation to set policy?
Well, that's a very good question. I'm going to have to leave, so that'll be the last one that I address. We've got a hearing coming up here in just a few minutes. But the Constitution is very clear. The very first sentence of Article 1, the very first article of the Constitution says, all legislative powers herein granted shall reside in a Congress of the United States to be comprised of a House and a Senate. Now, there are places where executive orders are appropriate. President Trump has been using them. But they're basically to tell his people working for him in the executive branch how they are to carry out the law that the Congress has written.
Yes.
Unfortunately, some presidents have used them to try to rewrite the law or reinterpret the law. Mm-hmm. That's not the case. It is an instruction of how the law is to be implemented. And he's used that for immigration enforcement, for enforcement of our environmental protection laws, and a whole host of other areas. And I'm really excited about it. He hasn't introduced one yet that I haven't agreed with. I agree with all of them. The next step is to utilize something called the Congressional Review Act to repeal some regulations that were written in the prior administration. And in the 20-plus years since that law was created, it's been used twice. Once actually took effect, and once was vetoed. Now, in this new Congress, we've already passed more than 15 bills out of the House repealing Obama administration regulations. We're going to do a lot more. The Senate, I think, has done four or five of them, and the president has already signed two or three of them into law. So we're already, in this first 5 weeks of his presidency, way ahead of the use of this law than ever before.
That's great.
It's a way to cut back on the power of the executive branch, and it is refreshing to see a president who's willing to do that.
Yes.
That is so important to our country.
Absolutely. Well, Congressman Goodlatte, thank you so much for your time this morning. We have enjoyed being with you, and thank you so much for your service.
Well, Dean and Rita, thank you, and I hope your listeners will never hesitate to contact me anytime I can be of service to them.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye.
God bless.
Well, Dean, that was great. I just loved having Congressman Goodlatte on the program today. And, you know, I made some notes about some of the things that he said that really struck me. Yeah. First, he mentioned that there is widespread support among all demographics for prohibiting abortion after 20 weeks, which is the point at which the unborn child can feel pain. I was impressed that he is aware of all of that research, and he was just right on it. What were your thoughts on that?
Rita, I just got the sense that he was reading our hearts and our minds. Mm-hmm. These are all things that we feel so passionate about. And as we said in the introduction, unless we can return America to being good again, we cannot expect it to be great again.
Yes.
You and I have talked about this before, that for 8 years, we have felt like we were facing into headstrong gale winds. now we feel a gentle breeze at our backs.
Yes.
And he has confirmed that that's not only in his heart, we know his heart, mm-hmm. but it's in the White House and it's in his congressional mm-hmm. colleagues. I am greatly encouraged.
Yes, me too. Another point that he made, which I think is so important, is that the government of the United States was created to protect our God-given liberties. And we've talked about that on this program many times. And I love that he pointed out that eternal vigilance, which we know is the price of liberty, it includes protecting freedom from threats from within our country, in addition to protecting it from threats from foreign countries or, you know, terrorists. That's usually what we think of when we think of threats. But we have to be vigilant on the threats from within.
And we have seen liberty being trampled during these past 8 years, both with regard to forcing people to promote and to provide abortion services at taxpayer expense. It looks like that's going to come to an end. We have seen our religious liberties trampled on with regard to marriage. We have to promote, we have to participate in things that violate our religious faith and beliefs. I see both of these things coming
yes.
to an end. I'm so encouraged.
Yes. Congressman Goodlatte also talked about the importance of tax reform, that Congress is looking to find ways to support U.S. businesses and boost job creation. And he said that fiscal responsibility starts with the people who make the spending decisions. And
yes.
we know that means Congress.
Yes.
He mentioned that he himself has introduced a proposal for a balanced budget amendment to the Constitution.
He's been doing that for years.
Yes.
yes.
And so good for him for doing that. Did you have any comments?
Yes, I did. Yes. They apply to his emphasis on the rule of law.
Yes.
That applies to immigration, but it also applies to, well, let's start with immigration. Yes, we're compassionate. Our hearts go out to people who've been here, but we have to have a respect for the rule of law.
Right.
And I was so encouraged by his emphasis on that. But also with regard to spending, I am concerned that we have started to accept Obamacare as another entitlement.
Yes.
That we have to pay for somebody else's insurance. There's a danger, and that's going to be tough to reverse.
Yes. Okay, well, that brings us to the end of our time, and wow, did it fly today. So this concludes our program on A New Direction and A New Hope with our special guest, Congressman Bob Goodlatte. If you would like to listen to this program again or share it with your friends, go to our website at valleyfamilyforum.org and click on the link to Crossroads on the homepage. We want to thank our faithful sponsors at Blue Ridge Chimney Service and Scott Dunaway's Dental Practice in Harrisonburg. If you're looking for help with your chimney or your teeth, please give them a call. And we thank you, our listeners, as well, for your prayers, encouragement, and your financial support. If you would like to make a tax-deductible donation to help keep Crossroads on the air, you can do so by check to Crossroads at P.O. Box 881, Harrisonburg 22803. Thank you for joining us. I'm Rita Dunaway with Dean Welty and engineer Robbie Meadows, inviting you to join us again next week at the Crossroads, where faith and culture meet.
Let us rejoice.